investigation for these deaths is the fact that I look at the autopsy report and let the victim's body speak to me, tell me what actually transpired, what happened to this individual, how he died, and anything that's inconsistent with what the police, the family, or even the medical examiners say may have transpired. In the Tony James case, the family theory is that he was a drunk kid that got separated from his friends and fell into the river on his way home. But when I read the autopsy report, although there's water in his lungs, there's not a significant amount that we usually see in drowning victims, along with the fact that there's other things I have to look for to decipher, like he's got date rape drug in, makes that suspicious to me that he's got the drug that most of our other victims have. So was he drugged? Was he abducted? Was he held for a period of time? But the lack of decomposition that the medical examiner states on a body that's been missing for 40 days tells me he wasn't in the water for 40 days. So where was he for the other, basically, 37 days?
The police never led us to believe that foul play took place at all. And then once Dakota was found, we spoke with the detectives that day. We did a conference the next day, you know, to make a public announcement about Dakota being found and working with the medical examiner's office and the police department. But after that, we've never heard from the detectives again. The only reason why I found out Dakota's case was closed is because I called to ask for documents of the investigation, and I have since learned that it has been closed.
If Dakota James actually did fall into the water the night he went missing, the question that we have to answer is, why are there no physical injuries on his body? In my experience, the body was in the water for 40 days, traveling in a major river, plus over a dam, would have incurred substantial injuries. Besides the level of decomposition that occurs from just being in a body of water for 40 days. If he didn't have that, according to the autopsy report, that makes the case ultimately suspicious.
Have you ever tried making your own podcast? Now, when I started this, you know, starting to get a podcast, I did a lot of research. I was wondering, you know, how can I record an episode? How do I get my episode into all the apps people like to listen to, like Apple and Google? How do I make money from my podcast? Which is not the main goal, obviously. The main goal is to raise awareness for these cases. Okay, the answer to every one of these questions was very simple. Anchor. Anchor is what I found was the best because Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing now by reading this. I should be making a few cents. The fact that this is a podcast about suicide, I will not be getting paid, unfortunately, but you can make some money.
What's up? Welcome back again. So this is going to be the introduction to the Smiley Face Killer project I'm doing. You know, this is a new mic, okay? I used to have a cheap mic. I spent a little bit more money and got a nice one. It's a Yeti. It's like $150 Yeti. And I'm just trying to get used to when I'm recording. A lot of times it sounds like it's louder than when it actually records. So I'm just kind of getting used to that, because the other mic I had, I didn't realize it was a mic. Like, it didn't magnify through the headphones. This one's legit. And you guys will be seeing a clear enhancement in the audio, definitely. And I do plan on getting a green screen soon as well, so I could do different type of backgrounds and things like that. But I want to talk about the Smiley Face serial killer, because that's really what turned me on to true crime through YouTube. I live in Providence, which is very close to Boston, and a lot of college age white males, highly educated, in good shape, were ending up in the river. Even one ended up here in Providence into the river. And it just didn't make sense because they'd be missing for like quite a few days. And then they just end up in the river. And since then, I've followed a lot of cases. And in those cases, I just have this like sense that they're going to be in the river and they end up being found in the river. I'm sure some of these, maybe even a large majority of these, are accidents. But they're all not. There's no way that. Just put yourself in their shoes, okay? I'm sure you've gotten drunk before, right? Very, very drunk. Do you fall in rivers when you? I mean, I just. One of them, he just went outside to smoke a cigarette. This is the one that really got me looking into it. Was, you know, I'm gonna be talking in depth about these cases at a different point. This is just an intro to. Because not everybody knows what exactly the theory is. So basically, he was celebrating his birthday in Boston. And he was really cold out, like probably like 10 degrees. And what happened was, he went outside without his coat to have a cigarette. He was out there, he made a phone call. He never came back. So you're going to tell me that he went out there. Diesel. Sorry, that's my dog scratching. You're gonna tell me that he went outside to smoke a cigarette and with no jacket, and then he decided to go near a river to pee and fell in instead of just walking right back in? I'm just not buying it. Also, a lot of these cases, there was another one recently. I can't think of his name at the moment. It was a black kid from outside of Boston, and the club kicked them out. And this happens a lot where they get kicked out and then they end up in the rivers. I think there needs to be some type of responsibility on these clubs when, look, I've worked in the nightclub industry for many years. I don't at this point, but I've been security, bar staff, and you know when you shut someone off. When someone gets belligerent, and you do, you just kick them out, and it's like, whatever. But that's not really the responsible thing to do. We wouldn't let people in if they came already intoxicated either. But there needs to be some type of responsibility. You can't just either watch them get in a car or get their friends. It's happening too often, and something needs to be in place. I'm not saying that you blame the establishment, but they just need to be more responsible. Then there was Ian Powers. He was at the Monday Night Football game. This was like a year and a half ago. And this one is crazy. From where he was on the phone with his wife or baby mother, and they were going to meet up. And he ended up like in the complete other direction in the water. It's just, it doesn't make sense. I know John Lorden did a really good video on this subject. And he looked into the numbers, and more people drowned than you would think. But there's got to be something to this. I have to admit, the theory that these detectives has is kind of out there. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I'm going to show you a clip, and you'll see what they say. And then after I show you this clip, or you can listen to the clip if you listen to it on the podcast app, or if you're watching it on YouTube, you'll see it. And then we'll talk about that. All right. All right, so you heard what the man said. It's a bit out there. these are supposed to be these guys are supposed to have a lot of credibility, though. NYPD detectives, are they are they trying to make it more than it is, basically, or giving these families some type of false hope that they'll get justice that way, when in all reality, they just fell in because they were too drunk. And like I said, I'm sure that some of them, I do believe there's something behind it. There was also one in Europe called the Pusher, who basically pushes people in to the water to die. So now I'm going to just go over a few things, okay? I'm going to start with just mentioning that it's the smiley face killer, not the happy face serial killer. Different person, different thing, different logic, okay? So it can also include smiley face murders, smiley face killings, and smiley face gang. Like you heard in that clip, that detective believes it's a gang of cells, just like any other terrorist organization. They probably operate on the dark web, which is, if you know about the dark web, you know that it's completely possible. It's a place where the darker things in society go down. Trafficking of body parts, humans, drugs, everything, weapons, guns, hitmen, whatever you want, you can get. So, I mean, it's completely possible that, just like, think about Anonymous, okay? Anonymous is a bunch of people across the world, basically, who all stand for, like, the same thing. And what they stand for is to basically expose corruption or wrongdoing. But they're not all together. They're their own sets, like gangs almost. But I'm lying. The serial killer, the smiley face killer, it could be a possibility. So now let me read a little more here. Okay. This theory was created by these retired New York City detectives, Kevin Gannon and Anthony Duarte, along with Dr. Lee Gilbertson, a criminal justice professor and gang expert at St. Cloud State University. And what they allege is that a number of young men found dead in bodies of water across several Midwestern American states from late 1990s to 2010, to this decade. Okay, they did not accidentally drown, as concluded by law enforcement agencies, but were victims of a serial killer or killers. Now, if we take what he said in that clip, that means that they're holding these people. So are they torturing them? They claim they know, you need to know where the person went in the water in order to see where the smiley face is. That's where it gets really complex. And kind of, they're just trying to make it connect when it doesn't connect. So the term smiley face became connected to those alleged murders when it was made public that the police had discovered graffiti depicting a smiley face near locations where they think the killer dumped the bodies in at least a dozen of the cases. So they're saying only in a dozen of the cases that's going on. So what about the other cases? Then they don't qualify. Serial killers don't just do things half-ass. You know, they're going to do it the right way. So Gannon, he wrote a textbook case study on the subject titled Case Studies in Drowning Forensics. And what they're saying is a lot of other law enforcement professionals are very skeptical of this theory. So it's mainly just that Gannon and Duarte, and they have examined evidence going back to the late 1990s, and they believe they can connect 45 college-age deaths
in 11 different states, often leaving parties or bars where they were drinking, usually very intoxicated, okay? The men, according to the former detectives, often fit a profile of being popular, athletic, and good students, and most are white. So what they're theorizing is that these young men, they were murdered either by an individual or an organized group of killers. The term smiley face became connected because of those dozen cases with the graffiti where they believe the body went in the water, but you don't know for sure. When it comes to that, there's no, you don't know. What if the wind was going in a different, like, it, there's too many variables for you to connect those. It's almost like they're trying to sensationalize this. So, but in 2019, there was a new article by the Daily Beast around the time where Oxygen aired its special. And they highlighted that the theory advanced over the years that a serial killer is doing this. Now, I'm going to go over like what the rest of professionals think about this. So other police forces that have investigated the deaths dispute the conclusion that the cases are linked. Okay, police departments that are involved do not currently view the deaths associated with smiley faces present at the scene as a part of the serial killer investigation. The La Crosse, Wisconsin Police Department, which is in charge of 8 of the investigations, released an official statement reiterating its original conclusion that the deaths were all accidental drownings by inebriated men, and stated that no smiley face symbols were found in connection with any of these cases. The Center for Homicide Research in Minneapolis, Minnesota, published a research brief that also attempted to scientifically refute the theory. In 2009, Gilbertson, the criminal justice facility member at St. Cloud University, voices support for the theory on an episode of Larry King Live, which alleged murders were discussed. Criminal profiler Pat Brown calls the theory ludicrous. And so does the FBI. The FBI says they have no credible basis to believe this theory. Okay. And Oxygen still went ahead and did a show. They only got one season out. I guess it didn't catch on like people thought it would. So one of the biggest cases is the Brian Schaefer case out of Ohio that I will talk about. Not in this episode. That might even take a few episodes. It's such a big case. So now we're going to get into a little more on the theory and possibilities. Like I said, this is not going to be that in-depth. Just going covering the basics until I can get into each case. And this is the article by the Daily Beast. Okay. Is a serial killer gang murdering young men across the U.S.? Dozens of college-age men dead from accidental drownings, but a team of retired detectives says the boys were drugged and killed by a shadowy gang with sinister symbol. See, they're sensationalizing it. They're trying to make it like a TV series or a movie or something. And that's not right because these are still people's loved ones. On the evening of December 15th of 2016, Dakota James called his friend Shelly in a panic. He was cold, disoriented, and scared out of his mind, wandering the streets of downtown Pittsburgh trying to find someone, anyone who would help him. "I don't know where I am," I told her, sobbing. "I'm so cold. Please help me. I'm lost." Shelly didn't hesitate. So I'm thinking, did he get mugged? Did he get beat up? Was he in a car accident? She told the Daily Beast this week, I was so scared. I said, where are you? I'm coming. Pittsburgh's north side, he said. She quickly hopped into the car to go get him, then remembered she could use her cell phone to figure out where he was because he'd enabled location services with her when she gave him a ride to the airport months ago. That program was telling her he was on Pittsburgh's south side, but Dakota was texting her as she drove, trying to guide her. I'm here, he texted, sending a picture of a jean-covered leg. Please help me. I am so cold. The cops won't help me. Her phone's location services told her he was at the Springfield Suites on Water Street in Pittsburgh's south side, not north. She texted him that with a question mark. I'm here, he texted back. I honestly don't know. She got there in less than 10 minutes, arriving around 11:30 p.m. As she pulled up to the hotel, she saw a dark SUV in the wrong lane, facing the wrong direction. And Dakota was walking out of the hotel and straight towards the SUV. I pulled up, not even 10 feet from the SUV. I said, Dakota, he turns, looks back. Then he comes over to me, got in the car, and we left. He wasn't slurring his words. He was walking a straight line, not staggering at all. His clothes weren't disheveled or wet or dirty. He was emotional, still crying, and he was scared, but he did not appear to be drunk. What happened? She asked him. Are you okay? He didn't want to talk about it. He said he just became aware that he was walking on the street and he had no idea where he was and how he got there. Said Shelly, 35, who asked that her last name not be used for privacy. He said he went up to a police officer and they didn't help. That's when he called her. The last thing he remembered, he told her, was leaving his work Christmas party, then heading to some bars with his coworkers from JB Hunt Transport Services, where he was a carrier sales coordinator. That was around 7:15 p.m. Everything since then was a blank, I said. Do you want to go to the hospital? Because I'm thinking, was he raped? Was he drugged? Because he seemed drugged. Because he lost 4 hours of his life, pretty much. No, he just wanted to go home. The next day, he thanked her for picking him up, but brushed the whole thing off, saying he had a bad hangover. And she might have too if he hadn't vanished 5 weeks later after a similar night out with some of the same coworkers. And that's why the Dakota James case is an influential one in the whole smiley face killer premise. Because of that, it's almost like they tried to get him and they couldn't, so then they got him the next time. Almost like they were targeting him. And she didn't really think about this time until he actually did come up missing. On March 6, 2017, 40 days after he disappeared, a woman walking her dog saw his body floating in the Ohio River about 10 miles from where he was last seen downtown at 11:49 that January night at about 30 feet from the shore. And that brings up something. There was another white, a little older than college age, missing man from Ohio who many people think is going to eventually show up in water. That case has a lot of controversy. I'm not even going to really speak about it. Everyone's blaming his wife. Maybe when I get into the cases, I'll bring it up. But Ohio, a lot of people are going missing and end up in the water there too. Not just white people, men, women, everything. His death was ruled an accidental drowning by the county medical examiner. But a team of retired detectives and a gang expert believed he was one of about 100 victims of the Smiley Face Killers, an alleged organized gang of serial killers that communicates on the dark web with cells in dozens of cities across America. You know, there's an additional 250 cases that might be connected, but they can't prove it. I don't even think they could prove the other ones, though. So James fits the profile of the other suspected victims. Smart, athletic, popular, college-age white man who went out drinking and never came home. More recently, some alleged victims have been openly gay, like Dakota. Like him, weeks later, their bodies were discovered in lakes or rivers with smiley face or other graffiti specifically connected to the group spray painted nearby. Now, Kevin Gannon, the retired New York City police officer who came up with this, says that Dakota was clearly murdered. Others are not. So his body was undamaged despite traveling 10 miles downriver and underneath a concrete and steel dam to get where it was found. Someone used his PayPal account for $11.99 transaction 2 days after he vanished. And there appeared to be ligature marks around his neck, indicating he was strangled. The county medical examiner who reviewed the report, it doesn't say what he said. And then they have those 11 symbols. But if it's a gang of serial killers and they're following this code, they would all have those symbols. That's what. So I'm not going to talk about any more individual cases in this episode. I'm going to go into possible theories that I suspect. Okay. I think it's very possible that the original ones in the Midwest, those 11, was a serial killer, or maybe even a group of killers. And then there was copycats around the country. Boston has a huge problem with college age, white, smart, popular men going missing after being very drunk and ending up in the river. I mean, it's really bad. And that's the first group of cases I want to cover because it's so close to me, and it's what got me involved with this. So let me know what you think. You guys think it's possible? You know, I'll try to bring more statistics before I get into the Boston cases on the next episode, but it's better for it to be like a TV show than real life. You have to connect too many dots. You have to really start speculating a lot. And when you start doing that, you become connected to these theories that when you get facts that disprove it, you twist the information a little to fit your theory. Now, the only time you should have a theory is if it's when you speculate, it needs to be based off the facts only. And they've been going with this so long, they've made it fit. And there's no way you're going to tell me every single one of the 250 or 300 men who drowned were accidents. But you can't tell me they're all connected either. So give the video a like, subscribe, and click the bell so you don't miss the next episode. And let me know what you think. Is it a group? Is it nothing? Are they all accidents? Are some connected? Are the NYPD officers trying to sensationalize this to make money? What do you think? Let me know. Thanks.